Shalom, saints. Beautiful this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. This being our last part of little sharing, just want to actually ask more of your prayers. Since this part of sermon may not order very well, but I wish I'd bring something simpler. Sometimes I don't even understand myself. Forgive me for the hardness of the message, and may the grace of God be sufficient for us. I just would wish that I be something that would bring not rub or scratch the hearers. But I don't know much, and I'm not such a good preacher. I don't know how even to do the words properly. But I pray that our God may grant me His grace and even the right utterances. I want to conclude our today's sermon on where there was no vision. And remember, we heard when we started that the word of the Lord was precious and there was no open vision. And I want to finish with this part of the scripture, in the book of Revelation 3, verses 14. And I'm the angel of the church of Laodicea. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Maybe, at the beginning of this sharing, yeah, the word of God was rare in those days. And it was not rare because there were no ministers. Eli was there. We were told that Samuel served under the ministry of Eli, served the Lord at the ministry of Eli, but he didn't know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him yet. Now, when we come to our age, this close in time, you know, God is also rebuking us and warning us. Because of the condition that people are in. And the condition is not satisfactory. God is not impressed with his age. And that's why he sent the prophet messenger to counter the wisdom, the intellectualism of this world, of this age, I mean. And he speaks about the lukewarmness, as I mentioned yesterday. You know, the lukewarmness of many Christians today. Somewhere, Well, John the Baptist, who followed the first coming of Jesus, was sent. Jesus told the Pharisees that they were ready to rejoice for the light of that prophet for a season. Then they went back to their system. And God has sent a messenger in this age with the same message to take us out of this lukewarmness, out of this intellectualism, out of this denominational attitude, out of this pride that is with the modern Christian. That's what it talks about. It were better. You are worldly, it were better. You are a Christian. Either take one and follow it seriously. And when we look around, the world is perfecting its sins, if I could say that. Their nature. They are not so much as concerned about what's happening with the other people. They are busy making names. They are busy modernizing their lives. They are busy, you know, making wealth and running for power. They are busy doing that. And they are comfortable because that's their lifestyle. And they are doing it well. With its nature of fashions of the world, immorality, and all, they are perfecting it properly. And that's why God says it were better that we who claim to be Christians were either like that, if not so, we come fully into the world. Now, he says, and because of this, of that state of lukewarmness, that we are neither cold nor hot. And people are neither cold nor hot. He says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. What comes out of God's mouth? What comes out of God's mouth is his word. And if we are spewed out of God's mouth, in other words, we are spewed out of God's word. And the worst, most sudden thing is this, is that, you know, the claim that is there that we are rich. When increased with goods, having of nothing. When we look at ourselves, we can pride up. When we look at ourselves, we can claim the positions we are claiming. We can brush others aside and kick them and look at them down and whatever it is available. But when look, what about when God looks at us? What is he seeing? I'm not putting my finger at anybody. But what is God seeing in us? What is God seeing? You see? He sees people who are wretched, who are miserable, who are poor, who are blind, who are naked. And the Bible says, and we don't know it. People don't know it. That they are poor, they are blind, they are naked, they are miserable. Why? Because they are not in the world. And they are not in the faith. They hang somewhere in between. And the book of James says, a man of that such nature will get nothing from God. No wonder today many churches are in conditions that are not appealing at all. But there's a counsel that God is giving us. That verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Let's forget about all these ideas that have cramped our minds. Let's go to God. I being one of them. That God may give us, let us buy that gold. Remember, buying is purchasing. He need to go and purchase. So he must have the power of purchase. Let buy from that gold that is tried in the fire. That we may be rich. Let us go and buy white raiment from him, because he's the only one who understands exactly our nakedness, that we may be clothed, so that we don't become a reproach. Some people don't look at us and say, oh, these followers of Branham, look at the way they are. When they look at you, they can't see anything to admire. They can't see anything to follow. They can't see anything. They just see some people who look confused. Brother, we were not called into confusion. We were called into sobriety. The gospel does not bring confusion. The gospel brings sobriety. The gospel brings understanding. That's why it says, come, that I may dress you. I sent you white raiment, righteousness, that thou may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Today, we must be in a position, brethren, to defend this gospel, regardless of whatever is coming our way. This anointing, God again, the anointing that can help our eye, or I mean the eyes of, that can help our eyes to see. Because without that, that comes from God. That's why Jesus Christ told the devil, the tempter, during his temptation, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. Remember that. Every word that proceeds out of God's mouth, not the pastor's mouth, not the bishop's mouth, not the whatever, any pastor's mouth, not the prophet's mouth, the God's mouth. So we are God's mouthpiece, we ministers, to bring what God is intending to reach his children. And when we do like that, then we are going to be in a position to show for the world. They may refuse, they may rebuke, they may deny, but deep in them, they will know there is something in these people that we don't want to have. How? I don't know. Let me not go into those details for now because our time is very limited. But God has called us. Anyway, let me finish this. He says, verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Today, many Christians don't stand rebuke. They don't stand rebuke because they feel they are all right. They feel they are okay. They feel they are rich. Atheists, they don't need all these things you're trying to push into your throat. You're okay. But the Bible says, them that he loves, then if you're not rebuked, if you don't stand rebuke, then you are not one of them that God loves. Because the one that God loves, he rebukes and chastens. That's why God chastens us, because he loves us, because he cares about us, because he's concerned about us. He's concerned about his flock. He's concerned about the sheep. He's concerned about where we are headed. We can't just go to heaven on a flowery bed of ease. Let us not be deceived. The sense of old fought, we also must fight to win. That's what the Bible says here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him, into him, and will sup with him. And he with me. At him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Him that overcometh, even as I also overcame. So we must overcome all these stumbling blocks, all this intellectualism, all this wisdom of men, all this desire to be rich like the world, to be popular like the world, all these things, we must overcome them. God has called us to be peculiar, a peculiar people, not peculiar in being funny and weird, no, peculiar in being godly. Peculiar in living a holy, sanctified life. Peculiar in being the salt of the earth. Peculiar in being the light of this dark world. That's what God is intending of us. And so he says, he that overcometh, I'll grant him to sit with me on my throne. So the throne is there. But so for only one person, the overcomer. Not a compromiser. No. No, brethren. No. Not a compromiser. The grace is there. We are not. I'm not saying because of how well I am. I am not. Brethren, I'm not in the race. And I'm least. I've said I don't even know how to preach well. Even to speak well, I'm very poor. I'm not trained in the field. But Paul says this. Let me finish with this part of Philippians 3, verse 12. He says, not as though I had already attained either or already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Yeah, we are not there yet. But God is looking at us and calling us. We are not there, but we must strive to be there. The Bible says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous. You know what zeal is. The power of prayer. Power of fellowship. Power of submission. Brothers and sisters, I know I've been hard on ministers, but brethren, also you listeners, put this, you congregation, you brothers, take also your initiative to seek the face of God over ministries that God has raised. So that we don't become like we are headed in the dungeons altogether. No. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, that's exactly what God is calling us. Let's forget these things. They are valueless. They are immaterial. They don't count anywhere. Let us press on the prize that is set before us. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us press on. Brethren, I want to encourage you, let us press on. Let's not give up. Let's desire to see the supernatural presence of God in our midst, in our fellowships, in our homes, in the work of the ministry. Let God be exalted. Let God be raised. Let God be honored. Let God be glorified. Thank you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. Till we meet again. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I worship you. I magnify you. I glorify you, Lord. Master, I'm nothing but a mortal. Sometimes I speak things that may not be so well received. I even sometimes don't understand myself, Lord. But I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus. If anything has come from me to say that the only that can make someone live is the word that comes from your mouth. That which has come from you, God establish it. That has come from me, may it be discarded away. May it not even bother the listener. But if this ended by the listener, may it be what you yourself has intended us to hear, even for the glory of your name. Help us, God, as your ministers. Help us, God, that we become honest and sincere with ourselves. Grant us thy revelation. Grant us thy understanding, O Father. Grant us, God, thy knowledge of truth. Grant, O Father, that we may, O God, bring reproach thy word. I pray in the name of Jesus. Have you, O Father. Thank you, God, for everything. We bless you. We worship you. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.